It's a local story of kindness that has gone worldwide on Facebook today. Social media users all a-Twitter about a Kansas City police officer who helped rescue two stray dogs.
It was a cute picture. Fox 4's Sean McDowell is working for you live at the Kansas City Pet Project, where the story has a happy ending. Sean?
A very cool story tonight, Abby and John. One Kansas City police officer is becoming, well, a bit of a hero, or at least that's what Facebook users are calling him, after a post has gone out. A very important photo was posted earlier today. That officer is being called a hero for helping save two dogs separated from their owner, and perhaps he's the reason owner and dogs have been reunited. Morning commuters on 71 Highway saw an officer of the law involved in a selfless act. This photo, which has been posted to Facebook, shows a Kansas City patrol officer stopping on the ramp leading to 75th Street this morning.
As I pull up, it's a motorcycle cop sitting in the cold grass with two stray, what appears to be stray dogs. Just petting them, loving on them. Just sitting there.
Debbie Davis's hunch was correct. The two dogs had escaped from their owner's home in South Kansas City, and the police officer was waiting with them until the Humane Society could arrive.
This is kind of an over and above thing.
Yeah. Over and above for anybody, really, you know. It's cold. Most people would not look twice at some dogs running around.
Debbie posted the photo to Facebook, and since 8 o'clock Tuesday morning, it's been shared more than 1,000 times. It even reached here at the Kansas City Animal Shelter, where the two dogs ended up. Turns out the shepherd mix is named Bear, and the blue-eyed husky goes by Leonidas.
He got his rabies.
Austin and Ashley Mazingo came to the KC Pet Project on a whim, desperate to find the dogs that escaped from their yard on Monday night.
It was heartbreaking and relieving, because you go in and you're like, you see all those dogs and then you see him in a cage, and then it's relief because you know you can take him home with you.
And the police officer and Davis's photo that's been making the rounds.
What do you think when you see it?
It's adorable.
That's an awesome story. It's good to know that there are police officers out there that still, you know, enjoy, you know, helping out the community and especially helping out such sweet dogs.
So what about the police officer, the hero behind this story? Well, we reached out to him through the Kansas City Police Department, and he did not want to go on camera, didn't want to give us an interview, suggesting that this is merely his duty to serve and protect the four-legged citizens of Kansas City. Sean McDowell, Fox 4 News, working for you live in East Kansas.
And let me tell you, I love stories like that. This cop was just so selfless, and he wasn't an arrogant asshole that thinks that I'm top of the food chain and these two stray dogs are just shit out of luck. You're listening to Views with a Twist. My name is JDR on your iTunes, your Android, your iOS on podominute.com. John Robinson at writerscafe.org. Tawa Kwan at your-poetry.com. Also on Pinterest and SoundCloud. And it's good to see that this police officer sat in the rain with these two dogs and just waited on animal control and got things together so that they can be reunited again with their family. It's good to see. I wish everybody was like that. I mean, everybody, you know? Animals are people too. You know what I'm saying? In my view, anyway. So anyway, sit back. Relax. Enjoy.
small airplane crashes into mall in Australia. A small plane crashed into a shopping mall next to an airport in the city of Melbourne, Australia, Reuters reports, citing local police. At this point, we have no information on possible victims, Victoria's state police said on Twitter. Interior Minister Lisa Neville has confirmed, however, that the plane was carrying five people, adding that it appears to be a very, very tragic accident, Sky News is quoted as saying. The Australian media said the aircraft had a capacity of five people, and filming of the fire caused by the crash began on the social networks. The drop of the aircraft took place around 9 a.m. local time, and the mall opens its doors at 10 a.m., which could mean a small presence of people in the place. The airport of Ascendon, where the accident occurred, is used mostly by light aircraft. Update. There are at least five fatalities made official, precisely the number of people on board. One witness present at the mall reported that none of those present on the surface had been injured. A plane crashed into a shopping mall in Melbourne, close to Ascendon Airport. The blast took place at 9 a.m. to 23 a.m. in Portugal, and caused five fatalities, precisely the same number of people on board, and it is early to predict whether the victims are 100% of the crew of the aircraft. The number of passengers of the light aircraft was confirmed by the local authorities, and one of the wheels of the plane will have fallen on a fast track, which was closed immediately, due also to the huge black smoke ball that occurred. I saw the plane go down very quickly. I did not see the moment of impact, but after reaching the building I soon saw a very dense fireball, a witness told ABC Melbourne TV station. Another witness, in the case of a woman, told Fairfax Radio that she had left her daughter in the Spotlight store and that it had been her daughter told her that the plane had fallen in that store but did not make any victims, despite the immediate fire. One of the explanations for this may lie in the fact that the shopping center has not yet opened to the public when the tragic accident occurred. It is known that the aircraft was moving to King Island, an island in the state of Tasmania. Thank you for watching this video. Subscribe for more videos.
as a group of nations, we need to understand that America is the world's flagship of freedom. And if we don't have a secure border, that hurts everyone in the long run.
But what do you do if it costs? I mean, if this costs dozens of billions of dollars, and I hear you saying, you're saying maybe part of it is a fence, maybe part of it is a wall, there's going to be a barrier. Mm-hmm. But this comes at a steep cost. And obviously Republicans want to go back, many of them, I'm assuming you do, to their fiscally conservative roots. What do you do about that cost?
Well, you know, I haven't changed my mind about being fiscally conservative, and I appreciate the assumption. It turns out this time it was correct. But the reality, Brianna, is that we have to measure all of the costs, ancillary and otherwise, and make the best decision that we can. But I can suggest to you that there are national security implications here for a porous border. You know, we sometimes used to make the point that, you know, if someone wanted to smuggle in a dangerous weapon, even a nuclear weapon, into America, how would they do it? And the suggestion was made, well, we'll simply hide it in a bale of marijuana. And so the implications of a porous border have national security dimensions that are very significant and that bear a lot of consideration when we talk about costs. Go ahead.
The Department of Homeland Security is trying to deal with that very issue. They have these tougher new guidelines for immigration enforcement. You're very familiar with this, being from Arizona. Senator Chuck Schumer said in a statement, quote, "This is a waste of limited resources, disrupts our economy, does nothing to keep us safe, and makes everyone a target, causing panic within the immigrant community." What's your reaction to what is, of course, a very hyper-partisan atmosphere around this issue?
Well, first, in all due deference, that sounds about like something Senator Chuck Schumer would say, to try to exaggerate the equation and to try to bring chaos to it. The bottom line is,
well, but there is panic. I mean, I'm sure you know this, being from Arizona. There is a lot of concern, and you're talking about giving local authorities expanded abilities, local law enforcement even, to essentially deport or detain. You have to admit there's a lot of concern around that.
But that's been something that has been around a long time. I mean,
well, no, these are expanded. I mean, this is different. These guidelines are different.
Well, part of the panic here is the media overstating and confusing some of the things that are actually happening here. And if you look at what the Trump administration's actual policies are, their actual activities are, it's
focusing on that's what we're doing. I mean, we're looking
damage to the country, and I don't think that the media is accurately portraying what the real situation is.
Well, no, but we are.
Congressman,
you heard me describe it right there, and you tell me if this is incorrect. DHS regulations that give expanded ability to local law enforcement on this issue. I mean, what is being misrepresented about that description?
Well, for 50 years or more, federal law allowed people, it even required people to have documentation with them for 50 years. And so all of a sudden now, when we take a closer look, and we have to have local officers, local law enforcement involved. Otherwise, we simply don't have the reach from the federal
government. But you're right, it is all of a sudden, because this is a new expansion of power, of immigration enforcement power that empowers states and empowers local law enforcement. So I hear you're saying that this has always been in effect, but this is new, and this is additional
effect. I'm saying that the federal law has been in place for a long time. It's how it was enforced, and I will make no argument with you that there is a different president, there's a different administration in place, and yes, the law is being more clearly enforced at the present than it was before. My contention is that before, when Barack Obama just kind of stood by and let whatever would happen, that it endangered this country. And when
well,
you endanger
deported
America,
more,
you
he deported more people than George W. Bush.
Well, I'm sorry, say that again?
He deported more people under his administration than George W. Bush did.
Well, I don't know what all the numbers are, but if you're suggesting
I'm telling you the numbers. He had 3 million something, and George W. Bush
is more committed to border security than Donald Trump.
I'm telling you the numbers: 3 million deportations, 3 million something, and George W. Bush had 2 million something.
So now tell me that Barack Obama was more committed to border enforcement than Donald Trump.
You tell me what you make of those numbers of greater. You said he stood by. You said he stood by. And I'm just telling you the numbers
of deportations. I'm suggesting to you that Barack Obama's border security was something that, in my judgment, was dangerous to this country. And I continue to stand by that. And, you know, I'm married to an immigrant wife. So this notion that everybody that is committed to border security is somehow racist or hates other people is a disgrace. And it's just not true. And I'm committed to doing everything I can to see freedom for all people in all the world. And I want to see immigrants come here legally and be a part of the greatest enterprise in freedom, the history of the world.
Well, look,
and
I just want to be clear, Congressman.
And think, look on this on reasoned basis rather than what I'm seeing here in this interview.
That was no suggestion that I was making. I guess I'm just thinking if you're looking back at President Obama, and if you do look back to George W. Bush, he proposed a comprehensive immigration plan that included what you and many Republicans would consider amnesty. But this was a comprehensive plan. You're saying Obama stood by. Sure, there was. And
there was disagreement on that. I'm saying that there was a bill signed to build the border wall, and Obama ignored that. And so there's no question in my mind about that. That all over the world, if you ask people what their assessment is of whether or not Mr. Obama was more committed to protecting America's national security, national borders, national sovereignty, there's no comparison. And, you know, I know that Mr. Obama is we're looking at the rearview mirror on his administration now, but it's going to take a long time to clean up.
But so what do you make of his record?
This man perpetrated on America.
So then why did he have a record number of deportations?
Well, there are a lot of things that could add to that. If you look at how many people were coming in, if you look at what the policies among the ICE agents themselves were. But again, if you're telling the world and telling me that Barack Obama was more committed to border security than Donald
Trump. No, I'm
not.
I'm telling you he deported more people than George W. Bush, and he did so in a more focused way, concentrating more on criminals. And I mean, those are just the numbers. Those are the facts.
Well, if you look at the number of criminals that came in here under Barack Obama, my office can send you some statistics that will certainly put this in perspective. And the reality is that Barack Obama saw a lot of undocumented immigrants not as people trying to come in and find freedom, but as unregistered Democrats. Now, I know that those are strong words, but unfortunately, they have the tragic disadvantage of being true. And this president has a different view of that. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be disagreements among the Republican Party with some of the specifics. But right now, what I see Donald Trump doing is emphasizing America's national security, emphasizing border control, and it's been said 1,000 times. But in order to, if you have a patient coming into the emergency room, you got to stop the bleeding before you can do the other kinds of surgery.
Well, Congressman Franks, we appreciate you being with us to discuss this. I am going to be looking for those statistics that you promised, as well as what you said about unregistered Democrats,
I'll be putting that up on
Twitter just to make sure, so we can continue this conversation on social media.
And my promise is to send you statistics related to criminal aliens under the Obama administration,
and
I appreciate the opportunity.
Compared to the Bush administration, all right. So we'll see that.
Well, I didn't make any promises of that. You're making the comparisons. I'll send the statistics and let your people make their own decisions. How's
well, you're that? Saying he let more. You're saying more people came in. So your only comparison
no, you're
would
saying
be.
That.
No, you said that. You said more people came. You said more people.
I'm saying.
Criminals.
I'm saying that Barack Obama's. I'm saying. Barack
okay, you send me
Obama's
that. I'll compare it to the past, and we'll see if there is a trend. Because that's obviously we need to compare some apples to apples.
I appreciate your analysis.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it as well. Thank you, Congressman.
We don't believe you, cause we the people are still here in the rear, yo, we don't need you. You ain't killing off good young nigga move. When we get hungry, we eat the same fucking food, the ramen noodle. Your simple voodoo is so maniacal, reliable, but pull a juju. The irony is that this bad bitch in my lap, she don't tell me she make money, she don't study that. She gon' give it to me, ain't gon' tell me none of that. She gon' take the brain away the place she spit on that. put those signs with it. Don't try to rhyme with it. VH1 has a show that you can waste your time with. Guilty pleasures take the edge off reality and for a salary. I'll probably do that just sporadically. The OG Gucci boots are smitten with iguanas. The IRS piranhas see a nigga getting common. Niggas in the hood living in a fishbowl. Gentrify here, now it's not a shithole. Trendsetter, I know my shit's cold. Hand set of it because I ain't so bold. But yeah, all you black folks, you must go. All you Mexicans, you must go. And all you poor folks, you must go. Muslims and gays, boy, we hate your ways. So all you bad folks, you must go.
The fog and the smog of the media, the logs, false narratives of guys that came up against the odds. We're not just nigga rappers with the bars. It's kismet that we're cosmic with the stars. You bastards overlooking street art, better yet street smart, but you keep us off the chart. Some of the fucking numbers and your statistician. Fuck y'all know about true competition. Just like the AO picture on there talking about he hitting. The only one who's hitting are the ones that's currently spitting. We got to Missy smitten, rubbing on a little kitten, dreaming of a world that's equal for women with no division. Boy, I tell you, that's vision. Like Tony Romo when he hitting with it. The tribe be the best in 8 division. Shaheed Muhammad cut it with precision. Who can come back years later, still hit the shot? Still, I'm trying to move you off the fucking block. Babylon, blood clot. You up on your head, Todd.
All you black folks, you must go. All you Mexicans, you must go. Muslims and gays, boy, we hate your ways. So all you bad folks, you must go.
And that was A Tribe Called Quest. And before that, you heard a CNN correspondent talk to Republican Trent Frank about immigrants. And, you know, the Republicans' policies on immigration and the building a wall and yada, yada, yada. And I said last week that Obama had deported between 5 and 10 million. She said 3 million. I heard differently, so I don't know. Maybe she's right. But it's just really funny to listen how representatives of this Keystone Cop cabinet just tries to defend all of the bad things that they're doing, and they try to reverse it and blame it on the media. I mean, everything's the media's fault, you know. Now, listen, media can exaggerate things. We all know that, you know, but, you know, they're not there to tell lies. You know, this is not Romania. This is not the Ceausescu era where at one point, you know, he told the weather people, he told the meteorologists in Romania that the temperature will never go below 30 below. So even if it did go below 30 below, the meteorologists weren't allowed to say that, you know. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you ask me, the Trump cabinet will, you know, they'll do crazy stuff like that. You know, probably not that nutty. But, you know, already Trump is banning media from certain meetings in the White House and certain cabinet meetings. And, you know, that's just a start, you know. I mean, I don't trust his cabinet. I don't trust his president. He's got a lot to prove to me. And right now, he's really not doing it. He's just doing a lot of talk. He's always on television, and he's going around. He's like he's campaigning, you know. I don't even think he's into his first 100 days of his presidency. And it seems like he's already campaigning for the next election. And, you know, it's just crazy when you just hear the things that are going on in this cabinet and the things that they have to say. It's just wild stuff, you know. So
hey, just sit back and wait, I guess, right? That's about all we can do, I imagine. Anyway, you're listening to Views with the Twist. My name is JDR on your iTunes, your Android, and your iOS. Podomatic.com, John Robinson at writerscafe.org. Tawakwan at your-poetry.com. We're on Pinterest and SoundCloud. And I shall return.
In the latest example of how much rhetoric matters in the country, an innocent software engineer was shot and killed at a bar in Kansas City by a man who allegedly yelled, "Go back to your own country," as he fired shots. The man who unfortunately lost his life as a result of this had been in the country for over a decade and was celebrated in the companies that he worked for. He was very talented. An incredible software engineer that not only worked in, you know, the aviation industry, but did a lot to contribute to tech companies here in the United States. Now, while he was at a bar in Kansas City, 51-year-old Adam Purinton apparently came in, fired shots, and killed the man, and then wounded two of his friends. According to reports, Kuchi Botla died when a man opened fire at this bar, killing him and injuring two others. The man was later identified as this 51-year-old Adam W. Purinton. Now, Purinton reportedly yelled, "Get out of my country," before shooting. He was charged Thursday with first-degree premeditated murder and two counts of attempted first-degree murder.
So that's why Trump, in a CPAC speech today, warned about right-wing terrorism and how it was affecting people in the country, and how we got to do something about it. Until we figure it out, we're going to ban right-wingers from coming into the country. We're not going to do that because Trump's a bigot and only wants to demagogue against Muslims. And those seven Muslim countries, zero deaths in this country from terrorism that emanated from the ones that are banned. Meanwhile, right-wing terrorism kills people in this country all the time. What is Trump doing about it? I guess he's super weak, so he's not doing anything. He hasn't mentioned this. He didn't mention the right-wing terrorism in Quebec when it killed six people. Right. You know why he doesn't mention it? Because he's a bigot. He doesn't care about terrorism. He doesn't care about lives lost. He doesn't care about national security. The only thing he cares about is, how do I demagogue against the others? So if you actually cared about people losing their lives, you would have made a statement about this. Why won't you name it? Why won't you name the problem?
Only if the roles were reversed, he would have.
Oh, absolutely.
Only if the roles were reversed.
Can you imagine? The way, I don't know whether or not this guy is Muslim. He immigrated here from India, so I don't know what his religion is.
Unlikely, by the way, based on the name.
Unlikely, but, you know, this guy walks into a bar and sees people that look brown, and that's all that matters. Get out of my country. By the way, I would much rather have people like the victim in this country as opposed to terrible murderers like this guy. And I hope that he spends the rest of his life in prison. But anyway, you know, everyone who knew him, the victim, they're all so heartbroken. They're like, he was one of the best guys, never caused any trouble, was so easy to work with, contributed so much to our companies. Like, his former bosses, you know, put out statements and videos about this. And it's so tragic. He had a wife. If the roles were reversed and some Muslim guy had walked into a bar in Kansas City and opened fire, this would be the top headline on every news outlet, single one.
And he had shouted Allahu Akbar before he did it. Not only would it be a top headline, every speech at CPAC would have been about it. Everyone. Right. Instead, at CPAC, the right-wing gathering, no one mentioned this at all because they don't care.
It doesn't bolster their agenda. And what's sad here, too, is he got off on foot, right? Then he made his way to an Applebee's. And while he was at an Applebee's, he told a bartender that he had just shot two Middle Eastern men. Mm-hmm. So in his eyes, he specifically went in there with an agenda to shoot two Middle Eastern men. And then it was the bartender that was like, wow, who's this guy bragging about shooting two Middle Eastern men? And the bartender called the police, and that's how he got caught. So even though he shot and wounded one white guy and two Indian men, he believed that they were Middle Eastern men. Right. And that's what's scary, too, and that's why the rhetoric that Trump touts is so dangerous.
And that was just a clip from the Young Turks, folks. You can see that on YouTube. They have sort of a news show that they put on. They're very outspoken. They're very outspoken, the Young Turks, and, you know, opinionated. And, you know, they bring facts and then they add their opinions to it. And this thing that happened with this guy shooting these two Indian people, I mean, you know, this is just, listen, you know, is more and more as, you know, this Keystone Cop cabinet and this president continues to want to put sanctions and they seem to be more focused on immigrants and building walls, you know, even though Trump comes out and says, you know, hey, I'm for you. I'm for this country. He's not. Like I said my last podcast, he's for Trump. He is not for anybody else. He's for Trump. And like the one correspondent said there, if it was a Muslim terrorist that had attacked an American, there would be so much outrage in the cabinet. There would be so much. Trump would be out and saying all kinds of things, and you know, hey, now you see I'm right. And, you know, we need to have better vetting, and we need to stop, you know, people from these seven countries from entering our country. We need to put up the wall, yada yada yada. You know, it would just make his argument even bigger, you know. But that this guy shoots two Indian people, the only thing that he had to say really was, there's no place for bigotry and hatred in our country. That, you know, that's the only thing he said. He did not condemn this guy. He did not condemn what this guy did at all. The only thing he said was, there's no room for hate and bigotry in this country. And everyone that ever says anything from this Republican Party, when they go on television, on news broadcasts, and interviews, whether it's Face the Nation or the other one on what's it called? Yeah, it's Face the Nation, and you know, there's two others. They really make ridiculous statements. I mean, their statements just don't make any sense. You know, when you're listening to them, you know, like you know, I said this before, half the time you realize that what they're saying isn't true. And you listen to them and they believe what they're saying. And they talk about facts and figures, but they have no facts and figures. All they have is loud mouths and bigotry. That's all it is. They try to say, yeah, you know, listen, we're protecting America, yada, yada, yada. Hey, I'm all for protecting America. Sure I am. I'm for better vetting. I believe in better vetting because you really don't know who's coming into the country, and you should have some idea. Now, it's very hard to do. It's very hard to do because, listen, people can get fake IDs, fake passports, fake papers. You don't know. They could beat up somebody on the way and take their stuff, you know. And you just don't know. So it's a very hard thing to do. But to just take aim at immigrants and cause all of this outrage between supporters of Trump, you know, that just come out and do things like this gentleman did, shooting these two Indian people. He even shot a white guy who tried to intervene, and he ended up getting shot. He's alive, you know. One of the Indian gentlemen was wounded, and the other one died. And then the guy goes to a Burger King or an Applebee's or something like that, and brags about it. He was proud of himself. And you've got a lot of Trump supporters out there that are going to be doing the same thing. And you know what? You're not going to hear about it as much. You might hear about it on the news, but you're not going to hear Trump say anything. You're not going to hear his cabinet say anything. They'll just brush it off. They'll brush it off by saying, well, there's no room for hate and bigotry in this country. That's it. That's about the gist of it. And it's ridiculous when you think about it. Anyway, you're listening to Views with a Twist. My name is JDR. I'll be back.
the groove, I got to move, I got the groove, yeah. I got the groove, I got to move, I got the groove, yeah. I got the groove, I got to move, I got the groove, yeah. I got the groove, I got to move, I got the groove, yeah. I got the groove, I got to move, I got the groove, yeah. I got the groove, I got to move, I got the groove, yeah. I got the groove, I got to move, I got the groove, yeah. I got the groove, I got to move, I got the groove, yeah. I got the groove, I got to move, I got the groove, yeah. I got the groove, I got to move, I got the groove, yeah.
Suffering from frostbite is found outside an animal shelter in Pontiac. The poor pup still had a rope tied around his neck and could barely stand.
Caretakers at the shelter have no idea how he got there, but they credit another four-legged friend with saving the dog's life.
Fox 2's Amy Lang with the story.
We do think that he's got a pretty good chance of finding a great home. That's our hope anyway.
McGee Humes says the Michigan Animal Rescue League had an unexpected visitor Tuesday morning. A volunteer out walking a dog in front of the building made the discovery.
The dog he was walking started pulling on the leash and barking, and he didn't notice right away, but there was this dog that we had never seen before up against our building.
We'll probably never know how he made his way here to the Michigan Animal Rescue, but they found him cowering right here behind this bush.
There was Winston. We found him there. He had a rope tied around his neck. The rope was tied really tight, and it was very long, probably about 20 feet long, and we assumed that someone had tied him up to our building to surrender him, but it wasn't tied to anything at all.
No ID tag, no collar, no microchip. Humes says their security camera footage doesn't show anybody dropping him off, but the Michigan Animal Rescue League has been here in Pontiac since 1953, so maybe someone knew he'd be safe here.
We are not sure if he wandered up and knew that this was a safe place to come, or if somebody had purposely left him near us to surrender him, but what we do know is we're so glad that he's here so that we can care for him and get him back on his feet.
Literally back on his feet. Winston is so malnourished he can barely walk. You can see his ribs. It's estimated he's a year to a year and a half old, and this pit mix only weighs 44 pounds. He should be 60 or more.
He's been neglected for quite some time. You can see he's pretty skinny. He's very malnourished. He's got some untreated wounds on different parts of his body. He's also got what we think is frostbite underneath, so we think he's probably been laying outside in the cold for quite some time.
Hume says it'll probably be 6 to 8 weeks before he's healthy, happy, and ready to be adopted, but right now that's the plan for Winston.
That's what we're here for. We're here to take them in and make sure that nothing bad ever happens to them again and get them the medical care they need, the love they need, the nutrition, and get them a home so they can live a good life like they deserve.
Watch their website for the latest on Winston. We'll put a link at fox2detroit.com. In Pontiac, Amy Lang, Fox 2 News.
And God bless such organizations as that one, because there are just so many people out there, tons of them, that treat animals very, very badly. You know, animals are just objects. They're just property. They're not living beings. And so they treat them with such disrespect. And on that note, excuse me, I'm going to give my shout outs to the ASPCA, North Shore Animal League, all animal caretakers, the FDNY, NYPD, SOS Wildlife of India, alle meine Freunde in Deutschland, everyone that listens to me. And if I'm not back, well, I will see you then in the next podcast. Okay. But there's some show left, so you don't have to leave. We still got a little bit of fun going on. All right.
I just got back to America. I was back. I was in the UK. I was back in England visiting my family for the last 3-4 weeks. And when I left, we were laughing at your politics. Like, look at those stupid Americans, can't be trusted with democracy. God, look at the mistake they're about to make, fucking idiots. So, sorry, everyone. Sorry if any of you had a pension or savings or anything. Sorry we just broke the world. God, it was such a disaster. And here's how you know it was a disaster. No one who was for it was actually for it. Like, none of the politicians who were campaigning for Brexit really expected or wanted it to happen. It was just a power play. And then it happened. Like, here's how you can tell. I don't know if you, like, firstly, they all resigned. Straight up. But if, even if you saw them, like, the day after. Like, look it up. Look on the news. Look on YouTube. Just Google it. Look at their faces, like Boris Johnson and Michael Gove, the leaders of Brexit, and see their faces after they won the referendum. Because they don't look like a politician who just won an election. They look like a construction worker who saw a woman shout, "Show us your titties," and she did. It's like... Oh, that wasn't meant to happen. This wasn't about results. This was about power. I just wanted to feel big and make someone else uncomfortable. Like, this is... Put them away. Because we were. Like, everyone in Britain was so smug about your fucking Trump and everything. Which is still... Like, this is still... The American elections right now, this is still the most ridiculous American elections... Like, ever. And by the way, I mean ever. I'm not talking our lifetime. I mean, I'm counting like the ones in the 1800s, where they're like, "Vote for me, I fought a bear. I have the biggest hat. I hear this man shook hands with a Chinaman." Because it's astonishing, because Trump has got this far, like almost to the top, with nothing. Like, I've never known that in politics, for someone to get that far, be that successful, without a single policy, without a single idea. It's amazing. Like, what are your foreign policies? The best! What are you gonna do? Fix it! Make it right, win! How are you gonna handle ISIS? Oh, I can't tell you. That would be giving it away. Like, that's his argument. Oh, I can't tell. Oh, but it'll be good. You just trust me. Oh, he's like the kid at school who claims he knows karate but won't show you any moves. Like, oh, you get close to me. I'm warning you. It's too dangerous. It's too dangerous. I can't. I could kill you with a single chop. I swore I wouldn't to my sensei. Like, it's nothing.
Issue allowing transgender students to choose whichever bathroom they feel most comfortable in is a civil rights issue. And he repeatedly refused to answer that question, just saying it's a state's rights issue. He was also asked what the president's personal belief is on this. Remember, the president said Caitlyn Jenner, for instance, would be free to use whichever bathroom she wanted in Trump Tower. Spicer just said the president has been clear on that, but he did not elaborate on what that means.
And Sarah, earlier today, there appeared to be some confusion when President Trump referred to his push, his immigration crackdown, as a military operation. Hours later, his director of Homeland Security, General Kelly, said that's absolutely not true. It's not a military operation. This seems to now be standard operating procedure for the Trump White House. The president says something, and then he's immediately contradicted by his own senior cabinet officials.
Right. Very different tone, very different vocabulary coming from the president and coming from Secretary Kelly today. I want you to listen to what both of them had to say about this issue.
We're getting really bad dudes out of this country, and at a rate that nobody's ever seen before, and they're the bad ones, and it's a military operation.
No, repeat, no use of military force in immigration operations. I repeat, there will be no use of military forces in immigration. At least half of you try to get that right, because it continually comes up in the reporting.
You can see, Jake, why people might be mistaking this, since the president is calling it a military operation. But from a purely factual standpoint, it's not a military operation. ICE is a law enforcement agency. It is not a military agency. That is who is enforcing these rules at the border. Today, Sean Spicer was asked about that in the briefing, and he said the president was just using military adjective to describe that they were going to implement their immigration guidance with precision. Back to you.
Maybe General Kelly should voice his frustration to someone other than the media on that issue. Sarah Murray.
And let me just say one last thing, folks. I'm going to turn down the television here. It's a Keystone Cop cabinet. One says left, the other says right. They're not together. They don't halfway know what they're doing. And we're in for a crazy 4 years. So thank you for listening, folks. I'm going to play a little bit of something else, and then I will see you in the next podcast. Man, am I having a bad day. All right, see ya.
For all of us at the ASPCA, working to save the lives of animals is on our minds every day. And in the past year, I've been inspired by the outpouring of support we've received from members like you. Thousands of animals have been saved from deplorable conditions by our emergency responders, and thousands more were given life-saving medical treatment, and still even more were impacted by the passage of humane animal welfare laws in states across the country, laws that you helped us fight for. Whether rescuing innocent dogs from the horrors of dogfighting, responding to natural disasters, or putting an end to the cruel and inhumane practices on factory farms, our commitment to giving a voice to the voiceless is renewed every day. But our work depends on the dedicated support of people like you. Every day, I am thankful for those who take time out to volunteer, to share our stories, and to donate. Thank you for making this another year of progress for animals and for saving lives with us every day.